This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, 18 through 21.
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Before the 1 year was fulfilled, Mary comes home with Joseph. Now you can understand why. Probably the only safe place. She probably is not having real success there in her home. Her father's not real happy. Her mother's not pleased. Her siblings and all her relatives are like, "Oh, Mary's here." And so she's it's safer for her just to go with Joseph. And Joseph takes her in his own house. Took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, when it says he took her home, it's really a sad word, sad phrase, because the marriage contract would be fulfilled after about a year. And at that time, when the marriage contract had been fulfilled, they'd waited a year, the woman was ready, then the man would have a bunch of friends over to his house. It'd be a big party. He would get dressed up, maybe have a chariot or something, a limousine, you know, the whole thing. You know how weddings get. It gets pretty crazy sometimes. But anyway, he'd get all dressed up and have the chauffeur or whatever, and he'd drive to the lady's house. And there he'd go receive her. She'd be dressed, and she'd be ready to go. And she'd come out and meet him. The father would be there, and they'd all be happy. And he'd take her into the chariot and take her back to his house with a big procession. There'd be people running the streets, cheering. It'd be a big wedding procession. And take her back to his house. And as you can see, Jesus did his first miracle where he turned water into wine. That was a 7-day feast. So you'd had some, you know, you have graduation parties or you have wedding receptions, you know, maybe have some punch and some cake and have a dance or something, you know, and, you know, everybody goes home. This thing went on for 7 days. Once he went and got her, they came back to his house and they're having a party for 7 days. There's a huge celebration. I mean, it took a whole year. You know how long it takes to plan a wedding now. It took a whole year probably just to get this thing ready for all the other things that are going on. And Mary is preparing for this. She's a year away from this big celebration. Joseph has probably got reservations for the limousine. He's got everything's kind of coming together, plus all the things they're doing. And all of a sudden, it says, and took Mary home as his wife. Meaning, we better go. Why don't you come with me? No one's celebrating. Mom and dad aren't happy. No friends are over the house celebrating. It's just, you know, let's fulfill God's plan. I want you to see that. What was special? When God intervenes in your life, sometimes it's not special. You just do it. No, like we talk about Noah building the ark. Wow, wouldn't it be cool to be Noah to build the ark? You think it'd be cool to build an ark for 120 years by hand? Wow, I'd love to be Noah. Noah would love to be you. So, I mean, a lot of times when God intervenes in your life, it's not like, it's how it makes a great story. I mean, listen, you've probably done it yourself. Love to tell the stories about when you were following God and did this thing for God. Me and Tony, we got stories for 23, 24 years, stories about what we've done for God and all the adventures we've gone on and times we stepped out in faith. Don't be deceived. It's fun to hear those stories, but it wasn't fun to be there. It's like, we've got no money. We've got no friends. We don't know what we're doing. We're following God. And now it sounds real good on this side, but when it's happening, it's not exciting. And you've got here a man and a woman who have been rejected, who are in the middle of God's plan, and they're wondering, what's next? What happens next? Thank you.
those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And so probably because of the situation, Joseph goes and Mary goes because there's one, no place for her to go. Number two, they realize, both of them now realize, and probably the only two, if you count, maybe count Elizabeth and Zachariah, that understand that this child is the Messiah. And they also, because they are both Bible people, or at least Jews that understand the scriptures, they realize that they're carrying the Messiah, and the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem. It's like, oh my gosh. That's how it's going to work. Because Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says the Messiah will come out of Bethlehem. And look, honey, we're headed to Bethlehem. Why don't you come with me? We're in the middle of prophecy. And they go down to Bethlehem. So they go down to Bethlehem together to register. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. They're still in that first year. She's living with him. But because there's apparently no place else to go, they're living together. I mean, they're married. They're officially married. I mean, living together. They're married. But they're still in that first year being pledged, and was expecting a child. Verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So here's the situation. They come down to Bethlehem. The whole family's coming to Bethlehem. This is not a good place to be. Because everybody's talking. Did you hear about Joseph and Mary? Did you hear about Joseph and his new bride? It's like, oh, I heard about that. What's going on? I don't know. Okay. So all this going on. Maybe one of the reasons they end up in this place, the cave, one of these places, you know, they say there's several things. You guys saw a video today. I wish I saw the video so I wouldn't say something to y'all. That ain't right. That ain't right. Traditionally, it was a cave. Some people say, and because a lot of times the houses were upstairs, then below was like the barn that kept the animals in the same living quarters. Some people say that was the case. The inn right here, it could be a variety of places where people would stay, but there was no place in the inn for them. That could be because of so many people being in Bethlehem and them arriving late. That's kind of where the traditional story came from. It could be because, now listen, someone in your family arrives in town for the census. It's a huge family reunion. I mean, how long does it take to count the census? I'm here. Okay, hey, I'll come over to your house. Hey, let's all get together. And you're going to spend the next week just hanging out telling stories or whatever you do at your family reunion. It's going to turn into a family reunion. Why would a pregnant woman end up by herself with her husband with a bunch of family around? My assumption is, no one's really too much accepting them. They're on their own. God's plan is cast them out. It goes on and it says, the firstborn, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. So they're here by themselves in this place, a lowly place. And the man right there, Joseph, appears to be the one who's taking care of everything. Now, if you can imagine Joseph coming down here, he's registering for the census. He's down there in a stable type cave. There's animals. That's where the animals were kept. Like you said earlier this morning, it's not a clean place. It's not a place where you have babies. See, because we hear so many Christmas stories, it's like, well, you know, when you have a baby, you know, at Christmas, where do you put him? Well, you put him in the manger. That's where you always put the babies. And that's become traditional. So that, well, we got a baby, it's Christmas, where's the manger? Oh, and it's always a soft little crate, and oh, you know, and then Mary's always looking so, you know, holy. not like she just gave birth. And I was there for the birth of six sons. And, you know, it never looked quite like Mary after she gave birth. And Joseph always looked so dignified. I remember when I can tell you all kinds of stories about this. I'll tell you one funny story. I got time for a funny story. Yeah, see, it's really funny. I got the back row laughing already. We had to go through Lamaze class back in 1983. You know, never been there, all right? I didn't like the thing at all. Not that I was against going, but it's like they kept talking about birth. And they kept, you know, just, oh, you know, it's just too much for a young man. And then we're sitting there, and we had to go like for 6 or 8 weeks, and they had the time where they went through all this. I thought it was all over, and they told all the things the doctors do. It's like, oh, no, I don't want to know. And then finally, but now we got one more thing to cover. If you don't make it, and you have to deliver the baby in the car. It's like, no, we're going to live in the hospital. This is not going to happen. And then I'm feeling just oh, terrible. Well, it's time for the tour. So we go, and this is back in 83, and things changed so much in the last 20 years. But at this time, they had, everything was sterile. Everything was silver. You remember those days? Everything was silver. We had to wear, like, when the dads went in, they just started bringing the dads in. Man, if I could have been born like 10 or 15 years earlier, I could have stayed out in the lobby and handed out cigars like a real man. No, I had to be in there, you know. I had to be in there. It's like helping the doctor. It's like, well, where'd this come from? This was not a man's idea. And men and I said, you know, we want to be in the delivery room with our wives. Maybe I'm not speaking for everybody, but I'm speaking for myself. Good luck, honey. I'll be out here with a box of cigars. Tell me what it is. I know, the pink or the blue ones, you know. But there are little booties on, little face masks. It's all going to happen. Well, this is our first night, and we're going to get this tour. And, you know, in this room, it's hot. There's a bunch of pregnant women, you know, and they're big, you know. And a bunch of dads that are like, man, we could be watching the game. You know, I know. But I'm looking at all this, and it's got that funny smell, you know. You're like it's clean. And all this stuff is silver. And I'm just, we just got done talking about giving birth in a car. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I'm dizzy. I don't, oh. And the nurse who's giving the tour, she says, I'll come in here and here's a couple of chairs. Some of you don't look so good. You might want to sit down. And I sat down. Oh, because I knew she was talking about me and some of these dads. It's like, oh. And then everybody's staring at me because she was talking about the pregnant women. Oh. I was so worried about, man, I think I'm going to pass out. I don't know. I must be going white. She goes, some of you don't look good. You might want to sit down. And she's all the pregnant women. And I'm thinking myself, you know. That was one of the low points of my life. It's like the whole class is looking at me. It's like, what are you doing? And that's up. Oh gosh. And that's just the beginning of stories. I go on and on and on. But anyway, because we went through it six times, so I sympathize with Joseph. He's not in a car, but he's still by himself. And the time came, honey. Just a minute. No, Joseph, it's now. Can I? And there's nobody around. You can imagine, it's like, now this is not something he's done before. Maybe, I don't know, but it's like, you know, first time dad, and they give birth. And the baby ends up in a manger. You got Mary, she just gave birth. There's things you got to take care of. He's got the baby, what? You know, I assume he's crying something. I mean, he's, you know, he's not like smiling. I mean, maybe he is. I don't know, the Son of God's here. But, you know, he's like got this baby. It's like, now listen, this is the birth of the Messiah. And you got to get the picture. It's like, oh, holy night. No, sir. There's no singing. It's like, we just gave birth here. You got this baby. Mary's in a barn. There's an animal. Cow might walk by or something. And here's this baby. And he's like, what do I do with the baby? Joseph, I need some. Wrap it up. It's like, here, put it here. And he put it. He's like, according to the Bible, we should place the baby in the manger. Oh, holy night. It's like, it's something like this, like, oh, baby, baby, oh, manger, oh. And it's like, and the baby's in the manger. And they wrap, and that's how it happens. Like, there's nothing, there's no inspiration. They're not thinking about it. Wasn't this a special night? It's like, oh, you know, rejected by family in a barn, middle of nowhere. We don't know where we're going. We can't go home. We got this baby. We're the only ones. God's up on the throne smiling. That's exactly where I want. This is perfect. No one else thinks it's perfect. Everyone else thinks it's a mess. Thank you.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Luke 2:8-16.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, first of all, a lot of things about the shepherds, a lot of speculation of what is going on. There was a tower in Bethlehem. Now, you've got the city of Jerusalem that's got the temple where they offer the sacrifices. 5 miles south is the city of Bethlehem. I mean, 5 miles, it's just right there. Bethlehem, Jerusalem, 5 miles apart. But on the road from Bethlehem into Jerusalem, there was a pasture. There was a field there that they kept sheep at. It was not normal to have sheep around the city, but this was a special place where they kept the sacrificial sheep. And there was a tower there called Migdal Eder, or Migdal Eder. And it was a tower where the shepherds would stand in and watch the sheep that were being saved or preserved for the temple sacrifice that they would end up being shipped into town there upon the Passover or different celebrations or sacrifice that they would need. And so just south of town, this is probably where it was happening. It was these people, they're watching the sacrificial lambs, and they watched them there year round. This was not just a momentary thing, and there's a lot of stories that they brought them in close to the city at night or during the winter, maybe so. But if we're talking about this place right here, it was a tower that oversaw the fields. And again, we're not talking about a huge tower, but a station that the shepherds would watch and protect the sheep. There was a prophecy in the book of Micah that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. There was also, not in the Bible, but a teaching among the Jewish people that in this tower of Migdal Eder, just south of Jerusalem, is where the Messiah's, when he came, where it would be announced that he had come from. That from that tower, the announcement of his arrival would come. That was just kind of the thing that was spreading among the people. So with these shepherds, I believe, potentially at least, that these shepherds were watching sacrificial lambs that were being prepared for the temple worship. They're at Migdal Eder, watching the sheep at night. Shepherds are not, again, here we go again. Oh, to be a shepherd. To be a shepherd, that was one of the lowest positions in society. If you remember, when they came and got David to be anointed by Saul or Samuel, they checked the first 6 sons to see if they would be the king. And when they were all passed by, Samuel says, "Do you have any other sons?" "Oh, well, yeah, I got one, the youngest one. He's out watching the sheep, but surely, you know, that's why he's watching the sheep. It's kind of like he's the last one. You probably..." He says, "Go get him." But he stinks. They brought him in. They had to shower him. They had to clean him up. And he comes in, and sure enough, this shepherd boy was the king. In other words, when they brought all the sons of Jesse and Samuel said, "Go get your sons," they didn't even get the shepherd's son. Because the shepherd's son, obviously, he's out. It'd be one of these more noble sons. Shepherds were on the lower end of the society. Shepherds were sometimes seen as being untruthful or criminal, you know, kind of, you know, they don't have a lot of opportunities, so they're in that sense. And their very occupation made them unclean. They did not participate in religious activities. My next point, the religious people, the organized religion of the day is so far from being holy or in God's plan. They've got the reputation, they've got the image, they've got all the potential. spiritual, but their hearts are far from the plan of God. They're too enamored with their own plans. They're too enamored with their own ideas. They're too enamored with their own traditions to let God move the scene and do something, like cause a virgin to be with child, a young man to have to take her into his house early, to go down to Bethlehem to have a baby born in a cave and placed in a manger. It's like, no, it doesn't work. And yet God is stepping through prophecies. Everything he said is being done exactly like he wanted to. But none of it is being done in organized religion. You're going to see that throughout the Bible. You're going to see that even throughout the church age. When God moves, most of the time, it is outside of the organized religion. Because the organized religion has taken themselves out. They've blocked their eyes. They've got their own plans. And it's only when God interrupts the natural man, the secular man, the man that is going about his daily routine, and God just steps in and says, don't miss this, and he intervenes in the life and causes the unholy to become holy, causes the common to become separate or holy for God. And here it is, the shepherds. They're out in the fields. They're rejected by society. They're rejected by the temple. They can't even come and worship in the temple. But at this point, it says in verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And when it says their flock, does not have to mean they own them. It was their responsibility to watch this flock. One angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The word terrified means they feared a great fear. They're in the middle of the area out in the country. They're maybe in this tower. They're maybe out in the whatever watching these sheep. And all of a sudden, an angel appears and speaks to them. And they feared a great fear. But the angel said, do not be afraid. Now, why? Now, here you've got to ask this question. You understand why Mary's involved in the story, right? Because she's the mother of the Lord. Do you understand why Joseph's involved in the story? Because the mother of the Lord's going to have a husband and the baby's going to have a dad. That makes sense, right? But one question I would have is, so why the shepherds? If you're going to make an announcement, why not put a big angel in the sky and broadcast it across the world? Why not tell everybody? Make it simple. The Messiah has been born. Maybe like a banner or line the stars up so it makes a message. But why have one angel appear to a handful of shepherds in a field? Why not go to the temple? Why not have the angel go to the temple like he did with Zechariah and tell the priest? Why not go tell King Herod? Why not? Why the shepherds are outcasts. They're out in the field. And there's one angel appearing to one group of people. And then the angels are going to leave. It's like, you hear me? What are we going to do? The angel just announced the birth of the Messiah to us. That was scary. Let's go see. What are they supposed to do? I would think if you're God, you've got a bigger plan. Hey, you guys, guess what? The Messiah is born. Go tell everybody. See ya. It's almost like Jesus with the 12 disciples. I'm going to build my church. You guys do the job, but I'm leaving in about a month. Good luck, guys. And there's 11 guys left. Well, we're supposed to build a church. What? And he's gone. Do not put yourself down. Do not look at yourself and say, I'm insignificant. Do not think that God is not doing something in your life. Because here's these shepherds. I know an angel came to them, and we haven't maybe had an angel come to us, but these shepherds were simply going through life, and an angel chooses them and says, you are the ones. You go see the Savior. And there were shepherds and living in the fields nearby. An angel appeared. They were terrified, but the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. If they would have said that to the temple wouldn't have believed them. All the people, you mean all the Jewish people. No, all the people. Only the shepherds who are already outcasts are even open-minded enough to think, you know, I bet this is for everybody. You see, sometimes if you're the person that's on the downside, you're the one that's got an open mind thinking, you know, maybe this will work in everybody's life. If God can help me, you know, I know he can probably help you too. But if it's always the people that are special that get helped by God, well, of course, you're not special enough. But God is here with the shepherds. To all people, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. Remember, the angel gives the message, and then the angel gives a sign. Zechariah had a sign. Mary had a sign. What was Mary's sign? Your relative Elizabeth is pregnant. You're kidding me. Runs down and sees a sign. When she sees, like, I know this is true. Now, watch this. This will be a sign to you. It doesn't even shock you. You read this and go, That's the way it always is. Right, whenever the Messiah is born, they place him in a manger. The shepherds come and find him in the manger. There he is, and they all smile, and he had that kind of that funny look on their face, you know, like a halo or something. And they stand and stare at the baby in the manger. Not so. This will be a sign to you that the Messiah is born. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, you've seen that on Christmas cards. You've seen that in Christmas plays. You've heard it in songs. The angel appears to the shepherds, scared. They're like, they're scared. The angel speaks to them and says, this will be your sign. Yes, the sign. There'll be a bolt of lightning flash out of the heavens and point to the it's like, you'll find a baby, okay, wrapped in cloths. Okay, that's normal. You know, that's what they did. That was normal. Lying in a manger. That's a feeding trough. You'll find a baby, yes, wrapped in cloth, and he'll be in room number 227 at the hospital. Okay, we'll go find him. He'll be in a manger. Oh, the manger. You see, the manger. No, no, no. It's like saying, you'll find the baby in Audubon in the garage. Thanks. That'll narrow it down. We'll just go to Audubon and start looking in garages. Thanks. Everybody had that had a cow, and everybody had animals, had a manger. It's not like, guys, the manger in Bethlehem. That's right, the manger. Which one? And so now they've got, and you can imagine busting through barns. No. No. And they're running around looking, and all of a sudden they open up one of the doors. Oh my gosh. Guys, look. And now you've got, there's Joseph. You know? And Mary, who's just given birth, is like, excuse us. And one guy comes in and looks in the manger. Guys. And he's like, oh. It was a shot. It was a sign. And they looked in the trough. It's like, oh my gosh. Do you guys know who this is? Yeah, we do. Oh, and now you've got that moment of like where Mary and Joseph, who were the only two that were really involved in this, they're looking at, why are you guys here? You won't believe this. This is the Messiah. So yeah, we know that. How do you know that? The angels came in. All these shepherds are gathering around going, oh my gosh. And they're looking at each other. Now listen, these are shepherds. They haven't gone to Bible school. They're not the priests. They've been trained by the scribes. They're shepherds. They don't even get to go to the temple. Well, guys, looks like it's our job to tell the world about the Messiah. Now, is there a priest going to listen to the shepherds? Mr. Priest, we found the Messiah in a manger.
When they had seen him, the shepherds spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
This is one of the many reasons why there was no excuse to miss Jesus. One of many is the night that he was born. All the relatives are in town. This young couple's in a manger by them, or in a cave with a manger by themselves, and the shepherds come busting out of there. Now, of course, this is really not who you'd want giving you as a witness. You know, is that, you know, the shepherds, they'll tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. The shepherds know, but the shepherds did know, and the shepherds began going out into Bethlehem and throughout the area saying, this is what the angel says, and this is what we found. And the people heard it. Look, in verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. We have got these things. I'm going to give you a list of 12 things just real quickly. Just 12 real obvious reasons why people should start paying attention. One, Daniel's prophecy of 77 in the 483rd year, 490th year. We're in that time frame. John the Baptist, his birth and the prophecy given to his father. John the Baptist had been born 6 months before, and his father had shared the prophecy. The spirit of Elijah will be on this person. Someone should be paying attention. He's going to be the forerunner of the Lord. Well, now a kid has been born, a baby's born, they're saying this is the Messiah. Put two and two together. John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, the Messiah in Bethlehem. Oh my gosh, here they come. Everyone just stand back and watch these two kids grow up. It's like, huh, this is incredible. They didn't. Mary's pregnancy and her story. The shepherd's story. The shepherds are testifying to what they had seen, meaning God is putting this in front of people. But every one of these things, one at a time, can be rejected. Do you want to believe a shepherd's story about angels in the field? No. I doubt that really happened. Yeah, but Mary, did you hear Mary's story? Yeah, it's kind of strange too. What about the old priest that came home and his wife got pregnant? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's been fabricated. You take these things one at a time. You don't have to believe anything. The next one, the place of the birth. He was born in Bethlehem. We're going to see next week in the temple, Anna's going to prophesy. Then Simeon's going to prophesy. The wise men are going to come. See, the wise men aren't even on the scene yet. The wise men are going to stop Jerusalem in their tracks when they show up. The scribes are going to hear what the wise men say and confirm the place of the birth. But notice, the scribes, when they say he's to be born in Bethlehem, it's only 5 miles away. We go down there during lunch break and check. They don't even bother to go. The wise men come all the way across the country. But organized religion, they say it's Bethlehem. We know the answer. Are you going to go check? No. It wouldn't change anything. We just know the answer. See, Christ is not an answer. Christ will change your life. It's not a trivia question. Where was he born? Bethlehem. You're a good Bible man. Did it change your life? For the scribes, it didn't change your life. For the shepherds, it changed their life.
Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2, 19 and 20.
Mary treasured all these things. The people were amazed. The people were amazed and forgot it. They heard it and were amazed and forgot it. I'm going to make a point. But Mary treasured, that means to guard and then keep them as a result of guarding them in her heart. Peter uses the same word. She heard it and she kept taking each of these things in her heart and kept guarding it. Don't forget this, Mary. She knows how difficult it's going to be. She knows how easily the world's going to steal this from her. She's guarding each of these things. Treasured them up in all these things, and pondered means to begin to bring them together and compare them. So you've got two reactions. You've got the, wow, that's amazing. What a great story. And then as soon as the next thing comes, hey, it's dinner time, and they forgot about it. But Mary heard these things. She didn't overreact. She didn't get excited. She kept these things in her heart, meditated on them, kept putting them together, and built for herself a solid foundation. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On earth, God says, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Because of this Messiah, if you'll receive the grace of God, you'll have peace with God. You'll have favor with God because of what he's done.
Well, Merry Christmas to you from your friends and family. I'm Gillian Weemers, and I hope you have a great holiday season. We've gone ahead and added 4 more messages to this audio CD that can be played on your computer using Real Player. For more information about the Faith E Free Church, you may go to faithefree.org. or the Generation Word Bible Teaching Ministry, you may go to generationword.com. Our prayer for you is that the message and hope of Christmas becomes more real and more fulfilling for you in this next year. May God bless you, your friends, and your family this holiday season. And once again, Merry Christmas.